Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Audio bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to Net at Night and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for Net at Night is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Net at Night with Amber MacArthur and Leo Laporte. Episode 165, recorded August 24th, 2010. A little wine and music. Net at Night is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to squarespace.com/night. It's time for Net at Night from Petaluma, California. I am Leo Laporte.
And I'm Amber MacArthur from Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Hello, Amber MacArthur. We have two Australians in the audience who are big fans of yours right now.
They're
visiting.
And our show was on down there for a while. That was fun.
We had a lot of Australian fans, didn't we, when we did the lab and Call for Help? You were on Call for Help.
Yeah, I think it did really well in Australia. I mean, I still get emails and Twitter messages from people, and they were big fans of the show.
Did you guys ever see the show on TV or no? They're just fans from Twit. They're big fans of yours, Amber.
Oh, that's sweet.
They're Net at Night fans. Yeah, isn't that nice? They're on a tour around the world.
Oh, that sounds like fun. We had a couple people in the studio. Last week, we had Alex and Luke, who are traveling throughout North America. All these people get to drop in and see you, Leo. It's kind of fun.
We kind of have an open studio, I should say. If people want to stop by, email my sister, eva@twit.tv. And just to make sure that there's room in the studio, because sometimes we have so many people, we can't accommodate all of you. But Jean-Marie and Elaine Schweitzer are web designers. They do skinnyfeetdesign.com, and they're visiting us from Australia today. Isn't that nice?
Well, welcome, guys.
So, boy, I had a very big week in social media.
Whoa, Leo, literally. I always check up on you. You know, it's been a couple of weeks I've been doing the show with Sarah, which has been so much fun. I missed you, and so, of course, I wanted to see what you were doing, and I checked out your Twitter feed, and then I saw all this stuff about Buzz, and,
and
people were sending me emails saying, hey, you got to talk to Leo because he's, you know, he's jumping off all social media, and I just thought, I'm going to wait until Net at Night, and we can have the conversation.
Good. Well, I'm glad. So it started, well, actually, it started a couple of weeks ago when Facebook announced Places. I realized that by leaving Facebook, I had kind of made a little bit of a mistake. You know, socially, I don't feel it's a mistake. I was glad to leave it. I felt like there were all sorts of privacy issues, as you know, with it, and I wasn't happy about Facebook's desire to dominate the web. And I also there were other structural issues that I have with Facebook. But I also realized, because it's so popular, that it's almost like my job is to be there just to keep an eye on it, right? So I made a dummy account just to see what the default privacy settings were. And it's kind of gotten out of control, because then they started the Places thing. I thought, well, I should do that.
Oh, gotcha.
And, you know, because they're now doing these. You can't do it in Canada yet, but now in the States, if you have Facebook on the iPhone, it's only on the iPhone, you can check in and say where you are. And you know, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, I've been doing it on Foursquare for years, but I just wanted to get an idea of, well, what is that on Facebook? What does that look like? And in order to do that, to make that any sense, I had to make some friends, because I not only had to have an account, but I had to have friends to see what their check-ins looked like. By this point, I'm kind of back on Facebook. I'm ashamed to admit it. I actually have, you know, I have a Facebook account now. It's a private account. It's just me. And I don't think I'll use it all the time. Anyway, so that happened.
Okay.
And it's a little humiliating to admit that,
That's okay.
Well, I felt like I'm not, you know, I still have the same exact problems with them and so forth, but I feel like, how am I going to cover this if I don't have an account?
No, it's a good point. And you know what? I'm secretly doing a little happy dance, because I was thinking of everything, like when the Social Network movie launches in the fall, we should have Dana back on and do a big show about it.
It's going to be a big story, and I'm going to be sitting here saying, well, I don't Facebook. I can't tell you anything about it. Same thing happened to me, actually. It's happened to me before, way back when, in the 90s, when AOL, America Online, was how everybody got online. And I hated it. But I had an account because I felt like people were going to ask me questions. I need to know it. And I hated it. Finally, I just said, I can't take it anymore. And I quit. And for years after that, people would ask me about AOL, and it was quite embarrassing to say, well, I don't know.
You can't answer.
I don't know. So I realized it's not a good thing for a person in my position not to be using something that so many people use. Okay, so that's fine. But you know me, you know, and I, so I use Twitter because that's where everybody is. I use Facebook because that's where everybody is. But you know me, my heart is in these smaller, I think, more effective sites like Buzz. Google's Buzz, I thought, was great because you can have a conversation there. It's threaded. It just, to me, it had friend feed. I loved friend feed, and that just kind of has kind of disappeared. I mean, it's still there, but nobody's using it. So I went to Google Buzz, and I've been using it religiously. August 6th, I'm in New York State dropping my daughter off, and I'm on the road, and I'm using mobile Buzz, and I'm posting like crazy. A couple of days ago, I noticed, you know, none of that stuff, nobody ever liked it or commented on it. That's kind of odd. And then I looked on Twitter, because I don't usually look on Twitter, but I have Buzz Can Tweet sending everything I put on Buzz to Twitter, because I want to make sure that my Twitter followers have the same content, right? It's perfect.
Of course,
they get the same content. It's not like I'm broadcasting to Twitter, because I look at the at responses and stuff. I wasn't getting any at responses, and I went and I saw, well, none of that got on Twitter. And I thought, maybe Buzz Can Tweet broke. It took me a while to figure it out. Finally, I figured out Buzz has not published anything that I have posted since August 6th for almost three weeks.
Why not?
It was broken. So I'm seeing it. You know, if you click my name and search for me, you can see it all. But the people were following. I have 18,000 followers on Buzz, and none of them were seeing it. So I said, help. I mean, how do you say I've got a problem if nobody's seeing your stuff? So I had to tweet it. And then I got, you know, it was really interesting. Finally, I wrote a blog post. I thought the only way I could talk about this is by blogging, because I can't get through on Buzz. So I wrote a blog post.
And I read that.
And the thing that I think was I noticed is that not only were my posts not getting posted, but no one noticed it. I didn't even notice it for 3 weeks. And it made me think, Jiminy Christmas, what have I been doing? I've been shouting. It's, you know what it is? It's like shouting into a room or a party line where everybody else is shouting. We're all going, hey, and I had a sandwich for dinner, and I'm all, did you see this article? Everybody's shouting, and nobody's listening. So it really kind of soured me. It was a kind of a sour experience on social media. I've gotten over the souring because now I realize, well, there's an appropriate role for social media, but I was using it like a blog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what, Leo? I think you had a really good point in your post. I mean, when I first heard this, I thought, okay, well, I'm just going to read up about what happened with Leo and get some more information. But I think one really key thing that you said was that you neglected your blog for a really long time, and that tends to be a really nice place to look back on and have a history of things that you've done.
Right.
And I do that all the time with my old blog posts, and I like it. I love it. It's like having an online journal. I don't feel the same way about Twitter or any of these other sites because it's condensed. It's just little snippets of content. So I think, you know, the takeaway is that, you know, to see you blogging more, I think would be a fantastic thing. And that's where you do have that sort of richer content.
Well, I've said this before. You know, by the way, people are going to say, oh, you're inconsistent. You change your mind all the time. You always get all head up about this and that. Yeah, I do.
That's okay.
I get emotional about this stuff. So I care about this stuff. I think it's, you know, and I think it's important. And you know, I can be wrong, and you know, I probably got a little overheated with Buzz. I said some bad things about Buzz, and boy, you don't want to. You know, same thing happened at FriendFeed. The smaller the service, the more it's like disappearing. The more adamant its followers are.
Oh yeah, more intense. I bet.
So I got such heat from Buzz followers. Well, you don't use it right. You use it like a mech. No, I was using it right. I was actually creating unique content for Buzz. That only Buzz had pictures and stuff. That was my mistake. So this is what I realized. Social media, there's value to it. And I do engage in conversations. And I, even on Twitter, where it's very difficult, I pay attention. I respond to people. But ultimately, everything there is ephemeral. It's like you're in a bus station and having conversations with strangers. It goes away. And it's kind of by its very nature, because of that, it can't be that important. Your blog is where you put the important stuff that you don't want to go away. So I was misusing Buzz and Twitter. I was putting stuff that I wanted to save there, but it's gone. In fact, it wasn't even being published for 16 days.
So are you done? I mean, are you not using it at all anymore?
Well, here's what happened. Google's, at first there was some, oh, you're doing it wrong, or oh, you set the privacy bit. People, first of all, did not believe me that there was a bug. Google didn't treat me that way. But, well, some a little bit they did. But a lot of the Buzz people said, no, it's your fault. Have you emptied your cash? No, I'm not an idiot. I know what I'm doing here. This is a bug. Finally, after 3 days, 2.5 days, the Google people did track down. They said it's a very obscure bug. This is what they said. We're sorry we didn't get to the bottom of it until today. You helped us uncover a very rare bug that has existed for a while, one that only someone with a ton of followers was likely to uncover. Here's what happened. If one of my followers deleted their Google account, any one of my 18 followers deletes the Google account, Buzz just stops delivering my posts to everybody else. It's like, oh.
What?
Yeah, it was a bug. It's not intentional. So it says your post still existed in your Buzz stream. It just wasn't sent to anybody else.
Oh, that's nice. So you can read it on your own.
I could see it. If you searched for me, you could find it, but it wasn't put in the stream. So they said they fixed it. And in fact, what happened, and that's what you probably saw, is that it got fixed and 16 days worth of posts got buzzed and tweeted. And so I apologize for that, but that was out of my control. So what it made me rethink about is, well, what do I want to do? So I thought what I should do, stuff I want to save, stuff that I feel is important, even if it's just a picture or a cute comment, I'll blog first, have the blog pump it to Buzz and Twitter and the other places, but it should start on the blog. In fact, I almost started using Postgres and I thought, no, I should own all the pictures. I should keep it on my server where I can back it up and keep it safe and make sure it's published.
Yeah, I think that's another key point. I mean, I feel that way sometimes when I'm posting pictures to Twitter. And the reality is I post more pictures to Twitter than I put on my blog or on Flickr.
I think we all do this.
I do think sometimes, you know, it would be really awful for these photos to go away. I mean, pictures when I'm driving in the car and then, you know, Connor does something really cute, or I'm out with my family because the mobile phone makes it so easy to post these photos. And the reality is, you know, TwitPic or whatever I'm using could just all of a sudden go away. And I think
Absolutely. This is why I use Backupify. We've talked about this before. This backs up everything, but Twitter will only let you save 3,500 tweets. So if you've got more than that, you better start backing up now. And I think the unfortunate thing is the tools aren't really very good for, I have a WordPress blog. I think this would be the same with Squarespace. I'll have to look. The tools aren't very good for, actually Squarespace has a good iPhone app. I'm using, there's a pretty decent open source WordPress app. But it's so easy to post to Buzz. You know, I've got a little widget on my Android phone. I press the button, the picture goes up. Same thing with Facebook. It's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit harder. I got to make it a little easier for me to do it. Maybe email or, I don't know, to the blog. And so the publishing, if you're rolling your own, is a little bit more tricky. But there's a decent WordPress application that you can post like this, and I could add pictures and so forth to it. So,
well,
just have to perfect
Leo,
this.
It's good news. I thought for sure, you know, Leo, you were just going to quit everything.
No, I just wanted to reassess. I was thinking, what am I doing? And how am I misusing this? Now, here's the sad thing. Everybody said, "Oh no, you know, you didn't notice it because you're using it as a megaphone." People like you, people make judgments about you. You know, people like you. I guess they're lumping me in with Lady Gaga. I don't know. People like you just use it as a publicity tool. You never put anything real there. You don't engage. Well, that's not true. And that was my mistake. What I've learned is that's exactly how you should use it, as a megaphone. You shouldn't put anything there that you care about. You should put it on your blog. Now, I am using, and I have to say, the good news is, and you could use this on Squarespace or on WordPress, JS Kits Echo. Do you know about Echo?
No.
It's like Discuss. We've talked about Discuss before. Yeah. It's a commenting system. And this is the future, and this is what Kevin Marks said. He wrote a post about this. Everybody's posted about this. Echo is a commenting system that uses modern web protocols to take the engagement that comes from your blog from all the other places, from Twitter, from Facebook, from Buzz, and bring them back into the blog.
Oh, I think I've seen this before,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I love it. So if you go to my blog, leoville.com, and look at, now it's not okay. Cheap. It's $10 a month. But if you look at, it's worth it, believe me. If you look at my blog, you'll see. Well, I'll give you an example. Now, not all my posts get a lot of engagement, but let's look at this one that I wrote when I was at 1 a.m. when I was upset. Buzzkill. this is the one that got a lot of attention. 2,069 comments.
Wow.
Most of those are not people on my blog. Most of them are people who commented on Twitter, Buzz, Facebook, and other social networks.
That's very cool.
So it pulls it all in, and then it becomes a part of your blog. So in a way, this solves this problem, because you want to be in the commons, right? You don't want to require people to come to your blog to participate.
Yeah.
But you want to save it somehow. You want to own the content. So this is kind of the best of both worlds, where there is, you see, almost all of this is from Twitter. Yeah. So what you get is you get a record of all of the engagement. You get better engagement because, of course, when I post on the blog, it goes out to Buzz and Twitter and Facebook. You've got to make sure of that. And I will probably continue. Now, here's the question, Amber. You wrote the book, Power Friending. You're the queen of this stuff. That's all well and good, but don't I still... Well, two questions. One, everybody always says, oh, you should create content specifically for the medium. You should create a tweet for the Twitter. You should create a buzz for the buzz.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I've heard people say that before. It is a lot of work. The reality is, I think, you know, for Facebook and Twitter, you can almost post the same type of content. The only social network I think is kind of an exception is LinkedIn. For instance, I use Hootsuite and I connect LinkedIn to my Hootsuite account. That allows me to post to all multiple social networks at once. But the reality is the LinkedIn community is very different than Twitter and Facebook. They're not there just to kind of post random things and have conversations. They're much more into sort of professional networking, and they don't like when you're constantly posting things about, oh, you know, check out the show I'm doing, and then kind of feeling as though you're trying to sell to them. So I think, you know, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, I just don't think the average person has time to create new content for multiple social networks. I mean, especially you, Leo, how many hours do you spend a day in front of a live video camera?
That's why I don't blog so much. I actually have a platform. I'm doing 20 or 30 hours of content a week. I talk plenty. People hear enough from me. But I still, there's sometimes where you want to write something that's more serious and thoughtful. And what you really want is that two-way engagement. So you don't have to create unique content. Then the other thing is this kind of, you know, it's funny. I got so many people like this guy, Kichkai Mentat. Let's see if I can pull up his comment. He says, the problem is how you use microblogs, Leo. It's you just shout into it. You need to talk back. Well, I was, that's the irony, is now I want to shout. I don't want to talk back because I know there's really no real conversation going on. How do you go back to Twitter and Buzz and Facebook and LinkedIn and engage in conversation there?
That's what I do. I mean, I go and have engaging conversations specifically on different platforms. Like, I'll go onto my Facebook page and actually respond to people and comment there, do the same thing when people reply on Twitter. So I tend to try to have more sort of conversations, okay. Although you're right, they're very, you know, short conversations. The only thing I would say is that I think you're right in the sense people kind of want you to broadcast, Leo. I mean, they want to know what you're doing, what shows you're doing, when stuff is starting. And so I don't think it's a negative necessarily for you to use the tool like this. So I wouldn't, I don't know what that guy was saying. I mean, there's always people like that who disagree with how you're using the tools. Trust me, I know.
Yeah, there's no, well, this is all new. We're inventing it.
Yeah, you can't make everybody happy. I mean, that's what it really boils down to. There's some people who like the way you use them and some people don't. But I think, you know, from what I've seen in terms of how you're using it, I mean, you're pretty smart and considerate with everything that you do. And I, the only thing I would say is that I'd love to see you blogging more, because I remember you used to blog more. And trust me, I'm bad on my own blog as well. Nice. But that way I remember something. You know, I learned something, and there is more content there.
Well, it's certainly true that, you know, there's thoughtful pieces, they're longer form, there's short little, you know, cute little quips that you put on Twitter or Buzz, pictures on Buzz. But I think I want to have everything saved permanently. So I think, you know, I do port my tweets back into my blog with a tool called Twitter Tool. I mean, I do kind of, I guess what you want is... You want engagement, right? You want to have a place for thoughtful, permanent stuff. You want a place for permanence, even if it's not thoughtful, whether it's like it's pictures, like all those pictures of Connor that you're just putting on TwitPic. Who knows how long those are going to last? And then, but you also want engagement. So you want to put what you're doing. The problem with blogs in the old days is I'd have to go to Jeff Jarvis's blog or AmberMack.com and read and engage with each of you one by one. So you kind of want to have your place where you put your stuff, but then participate in the commons, which is Twitter or Buzz or Facebook, in the conversation about what you're talking about and what others are talking about.
Yeah.
Is that a fair formulation? Okay.
I think you need a diagram, Leo. I think I would love to see all the different tools that you use to post to one place and how it's all connected. Because even here, it's interesting, you know, because at the end of the day, you realize that it's a ton of work. I mean, people say to me all the time that, okay, well, social media, maybe I can check into these sites 5 minutes a day. If you're truly trying to engage across multiple platforms and you have any type of significant following, the reality is it's a time sucker, and you're going to miss responding to people. You're going to, you know, forget to write that one comment late at night when you check out your Twitter feed. It's a lot of work.
Oh, it's fun though. I mean, I enjoy
it. It's fun, yeah.
And it's more work because it's not really spot on to what I do, but at the same time, it does seem, and I'm sure this is what you say in Power Friending, and it really is, if you're going to build a brand, you have to participate in all of the different forms. You can't just do one thing. You've got to kind of be out there in the world.
Yeah, I think that's true. Just being able to engage. You know, for me, I kind of stick to just a couple of different platforms. Like, I'm pretty active on Facebook and on Twitter, and that seems to be enough. I would love to get blogging more because I think that's really important. But I tend to just sort of put everything out there on Twitter and Facebook because it's immediate, right? It's really quick and it's really easy, and I can do it from my phone. When you sit down and write a blog post, I mean, we both know that's going to take a little bit of time and effort to think of something. And for me personally, I think I write 5 columns a week. So I feel like out of content.
You're like me. I'm out of content. I do everything. But the problem with recordings, whether audio or video, is you can't search them. They're not as thoughtful. Like, I got so much more response and some really good, thoughtful conversations coming out of that one blog post than I do out of a lot of the things I do. So
it's so, I totally agree with you. I write right now for the Globe and Mail a couple times a week, and they have a huge community online because the paper is so massive. And I love getting into the comments and talking to people, and that's where I see sort of real engagement happening. So it's a very different environment. I do a lot of broadcast stuff as well, but you just don't get those conversations. It's great to be in a chat room and to, you know, be able to comment and say things to people, but there's something nice about a written blog post. We're kind of getting old school, I guess.
Well, in a way, this is what this is. It's another iteration where you're going back, but the tools exist now to kind of have things be not insular, but public and have the conversation go public.
Yeah.
And that's really, I think it's a tools question. Now what I'd like to do is get in the habit of writing something every day. Cause I think if you write every day, it gets easier.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
I'm kind of talked out by the end of the day. I just want to go.
I'm sure you are. And that's what I love about writing, Leo. And I've done a lot more of it this past year than I have in pretty much ever. And I just love it because I can do it on my own time. You know, I can sit down in my pajamas and have coffee and just write. And it's so nice. There's not that pressure when you're doing so much broadcast stuff, as you know, just to always be talking and thinking. And it's relaxing writing. I find it almost like sort of therapy in some ways.
Well, none of the talking I do involves thinking. That's part of the problem. So sitting down and thinking and writing is a discipline. You have to be kind of cogent. You can't say, you know, in this medium, I could say one thing 1 minute and another thing completely the opposite 3 minutes later, and it goes no problem. You do that in print, you're screwed.
You're screwed. I mean, especially your choice of words. That's what I've noticed a lot with when I'm writing more for all these different publications. You know, all of a sudden I'll choose a word and I'll use it to describe some web service or something.
Right.
And people say they get attached to these things. They don't do that when you're speaking, when you're doing a radio show or television show. They don't stick on that
they
one
know.
Thing.
It's...
But in a post, they can just grab onto it and they can just, you know, suck it dry. Sorry. Well, people are like, we're going crazy.
Some good suggestion. Well, we're going to get to some links in just a bit. Some good suggestion from Lennon 2010 in our chat room. He says, you should, if you're dried up talking about tech, talk about something non-tech. So the next blog post, I've already kind of formulated in my mind, I'm going to write my next blog post about my shoe. So,
What about it?
Well, look at that shoe. Is there anything odd about that shoe to you?
It's hard for me to see because my image is over top the bottom of your shoe you're feeding it back to me. Oh, it's got a funky looking sole on it.
It does. There's no flat spot on this shoe.
Wow.
Tom Merritt turned me on to these. They're called MBTs. They're you know how I sit on a ball, so I'm always moving?
Yeah.
They're shoes like you're standing on a ball. You're never like standing flat footed. You're always rocking back and forth.
Can you stand still on them, Leo?
No. It's just like like the ball, you know. You can't sit still on the ball.
You can't stand. You have to keep going.
So now, basically, if I'm sitting, I'm moving. If I'm standing, I'm moving. I'll put the shoe back on. Anyway, stay tuned for that exciting blog post.
Wow, on that note, maybe you shouldn't blog.
Leah Laporte, Amber MacArthur, you're listening to Ned at Night. Thank you, Sarah Lane, for filling in for the last couple of weeks. Yes, she'll come back now. I'm going to fire myself from the show. I do want to talk about Squarespace, and then we have quite a few links to get to. And this is another thing I'm actually thinking about right now is I'm currently on WordPress. One of the reasons I've been on WordPress for so long, I've used every blogging platform there is, by the way. I started with something called Gray Matter, and then I went to Blogger. Blogger wasn't even out when I started blogging in 2001. Then I went to Blogger. I've used them all, Movable Type, Vox. You turned me on to Vox.
Yeah.
And I've been on WordPress for a while because I think that that's a good platform for me to know. You know, it's very popular, and I want to know about the plugins and stuff. But I think I'm going to move to Squarespace because they've solved this problem. Squarespace is a great place to start your website. If you go to squarespace.com/night, let me go there right now, squarespace.com/night, you could take a look at Squarespace. It's they say the secret behind exceptional websites, and they have solved this new media, social media integration, I think, quite well. First of all, easy to create content with that iPhone app. I wish they'd do an Android one, though, because I guess I could carry my iPhone. You know, I could post, I can do comments, I can post photos and so forth. Plus, they have social widgets to aggregate data from across the whole social network. So you, without third-party scripts. But you can also, and it's a very simple JavaScript embed, put my JS Kit Echo into this so I can get that great commenting system. Plus, I know the nice thing about this is I'll be able to import my WordPress blog right in. You know, let me tell you, moving from platform to platform as I have, from Gray Matter to Blogger to Expression Engine to Movable Type to TypePad to Vox to WordPress, every time it's been a pain. I have carried all my posts with me, and I think all the comments too, but this next one will be easy. I'll just use the simple importer and, by the way, exporter, so I know I'm never trapped if my tastes change down the road. Great for photo galleries. The templates are great too. Now, I could make it look just like my existing Leoville, but I think I might do something fresh and different.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, something changed. So many great sites here. If you go to the examples section, you'll see that no two Squarespace sites look alike. Here's the new one for Dan 3.0. That's that new Revision 3 show where you get to tell the guy what to do.
Oh, yeah.
Look how nicely they've done this, the YouTube integration.
Slick.
Yeah, it's just, and this is Squarespace. This is all out of the box Squarespace. That's the beauty of it. You start with these great templates, and then it's very easy to modify to make it, you know, your site unique. If you use the coupon code NIGHT, N-I-G-H-T, when you sign up, by the way, try it for 2 weeks free. You don't even need a credit card. But if you use the coupon code NIGHT when you sign up, they're going to take 10% off your bill this month, next month, and every month for the life of your site. You could save hundreds of dollars. Jeff Cannata, he's got a nice new site.
It's a pretty sweet deal.
I know, I like it. And I know your partner, Chris, uses it for his photo. He's a great photographer.
Yeah, he's been using Squarespace for a while. He loves it. I constantly recommend it. I mean, I'm still using WordPress right now, but I think my next jump will be to Squarespace.
I think it's time to move.
I know. I always want to move, like, every year. I feel
know. Well, I just upgraded to 301. You know, the new WordPress came out, and upgrading is such a pain, and you have to do it, you know? And Squarespace, it's automatic. If there's a security flaw, they just fix it because they both do the hosting and the software. And if you're worried, you know, if you say, well, wait a minute, Leo, but this is, you don't own that site. Oh, yes, you do. And you could back up your data. You have all your data. It's just the same as if you're running a hosted WordPress blog or even hosting your own WordPress blog without all the hassle. It's all in Java. Their Java VPS means that they can throw bandwidth at you as needed. I can go on and on. I think the best thing to do would be just to go to squarespace.com/night. You don't need a credit card. You can just try it for 15 days. Just mess around.
I always tell people, just go there and build your own little site, and you'll see how easy it is. And it's so much fun just to tweak things, drag stuff around, drop it on the page. It's just probably the easiest platform I've seen out there for people building their own websites.
If Dick DiBartolo can build a website in Squarespace, anybody can.
That could be their tagline, Leo.
I don't think Dick would like that, but it's true. Squarespace.com/night. We thank him for their support. This is getting back to that conversation. It's a tools issue. And I think the tools are getting better and better. And I think part of my problem was I was still stuck in kind of, you know, 2006.
Oh, no.
Not a good place to be.
You just get too attached to tools, Leo. That's the thing.
You do.
You get very attached to them, especially the smaller community, you know.
I love Buzz. I love the community. I love using it. But that was the other thing I kind of realized is, you know, everybody on Twitter was mocking me for using Buzz. Now, let me ask you this. I have 18,000 followers on Buzz, 222,000 on Twitter. In both cases, these are real followers. These aren't the Lady Gaga, you know, 5 million. But every one of those people is kind of actively paying attention. It's not just kind of random follows. So is it better to have 222,000? Is that where I should be publishing?
No. I was just going to say, I mean, one of the things that I find, you probably find this with social networks as well, is that I use some of these networks very different than some of my friends do. And I feel like I miss stuff. You know, as much as I try to group some of my friends on Twitter into different categories and sort of follow what they're saying, the reality is there are times when it's just too many people. It's just too much content. And so I think in some ways, it's really the quality of content that you have coming across versus the quantity. I say this, and this is just an example for businesses, is that if you're a restaurant owner and you have 500 people following you on Twitter and all those people live in your neighborhood, who cares about Lady Gaga and 5 million followers? I mean, you don't need that. All you need is your own little community.
She's only posted, 100 posts or something. I mean, they're not that engaged. People follow Lady Gaga or Britney Spears because they're famous.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they say, oh, look, see, I got, it's like having Britney Spears in your address book.
Yeah, if you wanted that.
Yeah, really. All right. Let's move on. You've got some great links.
Gmail has just announced a new feature that, it actually came out in 2009, but they've tweaked it. It's called Gmail Undo, and this allows you to send an email and take back that email within 30 seconds.
Oh.
Love
it. You don't have like a day to regret it.
Leo, what kind of emails are you sending, Lord?
Oh, believe me, I often regret the email. Maybe 30 seconds. Could I have 3 minutes? Could I have 10 minutes? Could I have an hour?
I think you should have a little bit more time, but the reality is 30 seconds is pretty good. And I know there are times when I send an email and I think, oh, I forgot to add this. And,
I'm just running through them.
So it's a really handy feature, although it's not set by default within your Gmail account. So you have to go into your settings and into Google Labs and then install it there. And then you will see it after you send an email just at the top. You can click on a link that says undo, and it will essentially take back that email. I keep doing it just for fun.
You keep taking back those emails?
I don't know why.
You know, see, I sent an email to Amber proposing marriage, and then I forgot to ask for it back. So, so where is it? So there's canned responses, created document.
Should be at the very bottom.
Oh, it's at the bottom because it's the most recent at the bottom. Is that it? Oh, yeah. Undo send. Okay. Now, will this delay? I guess it will. My email going out 30 seconds. That's why they make it 30 seconds.
I would assume yes.
Yeah.
I mean, originally when it launched in 2009, it was 5 seconds. And then I guess they've improved it. And now they're giving you a little bit more time. 5 seconds is ridiculously short. 30 seconds is much better. I think I'll use it pretty regularly. It's something where I find, and you have the same experiences, although I know you get more emails, where I'm going through emails and I'm answering really quickly, and sometimes I just forget to add something. I think, oh, I just sent it. You know, I'm just reacting too fast.
Yeah. You're just too fast, Amber. You're just moving too fast. Did you see that the city of Philadelphia wants to charge bloggers $300 for a business license?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Like bloggers make any money at all. I guess you and I would keep doing our blog. We wouldn't be happy about $300, but there's a lot of people blogging. If they had to pay $300 a year, that's it. Forget it.
No, there's no way. People are usually losing money by blogging.
Yeah, exactly.
The last thing you do is want to do
greedy.
Pay someone.
They say, oh, you know, there's this big business sector called blogging. Let's see if we could squeeze them till they're dead.
That is so awful. You know, it reminds me of a story that happened recently in Canada. Not a tech story, but in Vancouver, there were two little kids who had a lemonade stand, and they were trying to raise money for their hockey team. And someone called the cops on them and said basically they didn't have a permit to sell. And they got asked to leave the sidewalk. They were 10 years old or 12 years old.
Scrooges. They're a bunch of Scrooges. City of Philadelphia says all blogs with profit-making potential via ads or other means must apply for a $50 a year license or $300 for lifetime, no matter how small your profits are. So just don't make any money.
That is wrong on so many...
I know. Crazy. Story two. Well, two and a half.
Okay, so I just read this headline. It was all over the place online. iPad is the right fit for sumo wrestlers. This is kind of a fun one.
What? It'll fit up their butt crack? What? What are they talking about?
It turns out that the Sumo Wrestling Association has decided to hand out iPads to 51 groups, I think, or clubs of wrestlers to help them improve communications because they realize that their hands are too big for devices like the iPhone. I'm not kidding. This
what
is real.
What they need to do is build a phone into it, and then the sumo wrestlers... Big phone. Because the rest of us, when we hold it up to our ears, it looks pretty stupid.
You probably mentioned this on the iPad show, but I had to include it because I just noticed it was all over the place today.
That's hysterical.
Kind of fun. Our next headline is about Google Earth fan, and you can now explore the ocean. This is kind of fun with this new release, including one of the examples they have is the landscape and terrain in Monterey Bay Canyon. Get away from the stresses of everyday life, Leo. You can just go diving.
You know, I noticed an update on Android for my Google Earth. This is, of course, something if you have Google Earth on your PC, it's been doing that on Windows and Mac for some time. But now it's doing it on the phone. And I suppose they'll add a space, too, which they've added to Google Earth on the desktops as well. So it's just the Google Earth's a step or two behind. I don't really use Google Earth. I use it on the desktop all the time. I don't really use it on the phone because it seems kind of a strange thing to have on the phone.
You ever tried a Google Sky Map?
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Oh, so cool on the Android phone. I love it.
Yeah.
Just being able to look at the night sky and detect all of the different stars and constellations. And that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
It's zooming into me. Now, if I were in the ocean, we'd be going below the ocean. But what we could do is we'll go out to sea, and we'll see if we can go out to sea. Do you have to do anything special in the menu? What the heck? Where does it think I am?
I don't think so.
I'm at an airport. I guess this is fun. It always happens to me with GPSs. It takes a while. Like, it still thinks I'm back at SFO from coming home.
It hasn't detected your new location quite yet.
Apparently figured out that I got in the car. Let's go into the... So can I zoom in? Oh, look. Can I zoom into the ocean? And can I go under the sea?
Yeah, you should be able to go underwater.
Wow. That's spooky.
Isn't it weird?
It's really spooky.
It's kind of cool, though. I mean, I just think it's amazing, you know, being able to go explore the ocean, the sky, the world, and just all of the information that Google has is just...
And it's right in your phone.
Frightening. I know.
Right in your phone. Well, speaking of floating, here's a way you can get somebody to float your bills.
Okay, this is just bizarre, and I'm not necessarily recommending anyone use this, but I saw it on Lifehacker, and I know we're both fans of that site.
Oh, yeah.
This is a new service called Bill Float, and it will help to pay your bills when you can't. So the idea being that if you have a bill to pay and you don't have any money, they will actually pay your bill. They will charge you a service charge of around $5, and you have up to a month to pay them back.
Oh, they don't charge you interest?
As far as I could tell, they just charge some type of fee, and it's dependent on how many bills they're paying. So you have to go in, and I think everybody is treated a little bit differently. And if you pay them back quickly, then the fees are reduced. I thought it's definitely one worth mentioning. I probably wouldn't use it just yet, and hopefully don't have to use it. But a fun service, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are testing it out and could use something like this.
Bill Float. What an interesting... You know, their timing is good. I just worry that they might be in the same position as those banks who floated a little bit too much.
Yeah. Hopefully they have better teachers than the bank.
The side of the cliff.
One can only wish.
Let's wind today's show up with a song. We started it with a whine, and I apologize. But let's end it with a song. What do you say?
This is kind of fun. So, although this might frustrate people, but if you remember just recently, Justin Bieber, his song was Slow Down. I think it was like Slow Down 800 times. And people really love the Slow Down version of his song. Well, there is now this new service online where they've actually stretched out some of the most popular songs on the internet and available in stores. There's 24 songs that they say are highly recognizable, and you should be able to figure out what they are, even if they're slowed down. I listened to a couple of them, Leo, and this is not a great song of the week, but it's a neat service. And I bet not many people are going to be able to figure out what song has been stretched.
So this is using Paul's Extreme Audio Stretch, which I guess is software to do this. This is Josh Millard, musician. Which one? Okay, so there's 12. Oh, there's a ton of songs here. Which one do you want me to play?
Why don't you just try to play the first one?
Can I just tell you, even if it were played normally, I wouldn't recognize it. I don't think I've ever even heard a Justin Bieber song. Oh, this is not Justin Bieber, though.
This is not Justin Bieber. These are other popular
All right,
artists.
Let's see if you can recognize this.
I can name the tune in one note.
No idea what that is. Do you know?
Yeah, hopefully it will tell you what it is and will drive people crazy.
Chat room, do you know? They're saying Enya, maybe? Susie and the Banshees? Ghostbusters? Oh, now I recognize it. It was that last chord. It doesn't say anywhere what it is.
Wait, Leo, what number song is it?
That's number one. Is there a key?
I don't know. Someone said in the, I'm looking in the comments, someone said all you need is love.
All you need is love.
Does that sound right?
All right. We'll leave this as an exercise for the listener. Here's another one. This is song two. I thought it was U2 is what I thought, because it sounded like a little bit of that edge guitar in there. But yeah. I don't know.
All the answers are in the comments if people are curious. I just found the full list of answers.
This sounds exactly the same. Oh, we don't need no... This is Pink Floyd. Yeah, Brick in a Wall.
It's kind of addictive, isn't it?
Oh, they say the first one was All You Need Is Love?
Yeah.
The Beatles? All right. Now, if I play 10 seconds of this... That's really only 1 second in real time, so it's really not violating copyright law. This is number three. We'll do.
Try to explain that one to the.
No, Your Honor, I only played a slowed down. Okay, I'm going to play one that is one of my favorite songs of all time. This is not it. I don't know what this is, but let me see if I can recognize this one. I'll give you a hint. It was used to design the MP3 codec. Okay, we're going to ask our listeners in the studio, Elaine and Jean-Marie, see if you can recognize this. See, the lyrics help. This is like Paranormal Activity.
It's so weird. If anyone's tuning in right now, we apologize in advance.
You got it? No, it's No, it's Tom's Diner.
Oh, I love that song.
I am sitting in a... Yeah. Bye.
That's already slow.
It's already slow. It's slower still. All right, you can go to Josh Millard Musician, the musical archive and blog of Josh Millard, to hear more of these using a Paul stretch, Paul's Extreme Audio Stretch. And you can make your own if you want. But it's an open source program available at Hyper Mammoth. HyperMammoth.sourceforge.net. If you do make a stretched out song, please, please, please don't send it to us. Amber MacArthur, please, I beg of you. I don't want, because I know my inbox is going to be filled with.
Jennifer's going to be like, what are you doing?
Amber MacArthur is at AmberMac. That's a Skype problem right there. AmberMac.com if you want to follow her on her blog. She's also tweeting by that name, and you can watch her on CB24, her Web Nation show, and of course, don't forget CommandN.TV, which is absolutely the finest video podcast made.
Aw, thanks, Leo.
Made entirely in Canada by Canadians.
We love it.
Amber, have a great week. It was so fun just talking to you, but next week we've got some great guests, more of our Web 2.0 conversations, yep. Web 3.0 too on Net at Night.
We have Tim Westergren next week, I think.
Oh, from Pandora. How exciting. Yes. We talked to him when Pandora first came out.
I know, and it's their 5-year anniversary.
Yeah. It'd be very interesting to see what his take is on all of this now. If you want to watch us do this show live, we do it live, 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 Eastern, every Tuesday afternoon at live.twit.tv. You can also subscribe, of course, on iTunes, all the favorite. You know what? The best thing to do, go to twit.tv and look for Net at Night, and you'll find a link there to all the different subscription methodologies, including fantastic video. And since Amber is such a beautiful person,
Leo. I'll send you a check later.
Thanks, Amber. We'll see you next time on Net at Night.